But if you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 this morning. We want to begin reading verse number 18 down through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18. It's good to have the Palizzis here. True to form. One of them's acting up already, Nick, right? Amen. Got that from his dad. But it's good to have you. Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather together around the very precious, pure, and holy Word of God. And even now, Lord, we just pray that you be with Brother Schwanke as he is ministering to the fellow believers across the other side of this world. Lord, as they gather together, worship the same God, the same Savior, the same Bible. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, the Word of God is not bound by language, not constrained by the sea or the mountains or the oceans. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And it accomplishes your purpose and doesn't return void. Lord, we thank you this morning for the precious Word of God. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning as we open it and glean things from it. For thy glory in Jesus' precious name, amen. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 starts off with this. It says, "The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And then the following verses go on to describe and give us insight from God regarding the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. But this speaks about the moment when he would come to this earth with a purpose that he would fulfill. But it says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And many times when we look at the birth of Jesus Christ and we go through the Christmas season, we focus our attention just on that one moment in time and that one occasion and that one event. Just as when a couple has a child and that child is born on a certain day. Is there anybody's birthday today, by the way? No? Okay. But when they have that certain moment that child is born, there's that one event, that one moment. And it's an exciting moment. It's a glorious moment. It's a wonderful moment. But this morning, I want us to put it in perspective. A very full perspective. Because when a child is born, when a child comes into this world, there's that one moment in time, but that's just one moment in the life of that child. Not only the life of that child, and not only just one moment, the beginning moment in the whole life of that child, but in a greater picture, in the circumstances of all that's going around. Who knows what that child is going to accomplish? Who knows what that little Palizzi kid's going to do years from now, right? Sorry, Nick, you're here. But who really understands what a young person is going to do, what they're going to grow up to do? And yet, as we read through Scripture, we know that God has a purpose for every one of us. But I want to speak to you this morning, not only about the birth of Jesus Christ, but actually I want to speak to you about three births. Three births this morning that take, and we'll begin with the birth of Christ, but bring it into the perspective of God's purpose, an eternal purpose, that will relate the birth of Christ even down to today, December 3rd, 2023, this Sunday morning right here, Lakes Palm Baptist Church in Waterford, Connecticut. So I want to speak to you about three births. So we're going to start in Matthew because this is where it all begins. And we're going to start with looking at a birth which was promised by God. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And God had promised the birth of the Messiah all throughout the Old Testament. This prophecy is from the book of Isaiah. But there were many other prophecies in the Old Testament that spoke of God's promise. And this is one of the things I want to focus on this morning. God's promise that he would send forth into this world his son. And it began at the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, the prophecy brought forth, and then all of a sudden we come to verse number 19 or verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And Matthew and Luke and John speak of the birth of Jesus Christ and the events that took place. And we could look, and yesterday, by the way, yesterday, Brother Paul brought a good devotional about the significance of the star, the importance of the star that announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And Pastor Donnie was preaching about the surprise of the announcement as it came to people. But God had promised. He promised that he would send forth his son. And we read of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we read of all the significant and specific details that took place. But understand this, that birth of Jesus Christ, that promise that God gave, had a great purpose, didn't it? For look what it says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. Verse 20, I mean. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Fear not, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Over in the Gospel of Luke, as the angel speaks to Mary, it says, "That holy thing which is conceived in thee." And the birth of Jesus Christ was unique and special and different from every other birth It was brought about by the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason it was brought about by the Holy Spirit of God was so that this one person, Jesus Christ, could grow up. You can read the Gospel of Luke, and he grew up. He lived amongst us. But the purpose that God had for this child is in verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of Luke for a moment. The Gospel of Luke. And I want us to look at when Jesus Christ was born for a moment, and when his parents brought him into the temple to dedicate this child and give him back to the Lord. In verse number 25 of Luke chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Here's a man, Simeon. And he had known, a Jewish man, known the promises of God regarding the coming of the Messiah. And waited. The Bible says he waited. The whole world waited for years. You just think when a couple learns that they're expecting, they're going to have a child, they wait for 9 months. 9 months sometimes seems like a long time when you're waiting for a child, doesn't it? Right, moms? Not you, dads, but moms. But Israel had been waiting all those years, all throughout the Old Testament history. And here this man, Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him. God made it known unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Imagine the expectation. I hope you're not preaching on this one tonight, are you? Okay. But imagine the expectation as he's waiting, and God had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. In verse 27, "He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And here's a special part for you and me in verse 32. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Joseph and his mother marveled at all these things which were spoken of him. But here this man Simeon is in the temple as Joseph and Mary bring in their child that is born, that God has spoken to them about, and God has spoken to others. And here God has promised, and now he's spoken to this man Simeon. Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Christ, until you see the Messiah. And Simeon, with adoration and just joy, he says, "Lord, I can depart in peace. You've let me see the Savior of the world." And I'm thankful this morning for verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." I'm thankful for this next phrase, "a light to lighten the Gentiles." Because Jesus came to his own, as it says in John 1, and we'll see that in a moment. But he also came for you and I. Amen. And he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Even as he looked at this little child that had just been born, he understands that the promise is being fulfilled and the purpose of God is being brought forth. And the purpose is salvation. And that salvation, as great as it is, would require not only the birth of Jesus Christ, but a sinless life. And Jesus Christ would live for 33 years upon the face of this earth in the midst of all the wickedness and all the filth and all the vile and all the sin. And he would live a life, a perfect life, a holy life, without sin, so that he could accomplish the purpose that God had sent him into this world for, to go forth and be put on a cross, where Isaiah 53 says that the Lord could lay on him the iniquity of us all. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, he could fulfill the purpose of God in bringing salvation to a world of sin so that we could have forgiveness and we could have eternal life. And that's the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the purpose was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We read of the events that took place on that day, but that was just the beginning, wasn't it? Right? That was just the beginning. And Jesus Christ, as he grew up and as he went all the way to that cross, was taken down off of that cross and laid in that tomb, was raised up the third day, and then after a number of days, ascended back into heaven where he's seated on the right hand of God. That birth was the beginning of our salvation. The beginning of God bringing about his purpose of redemption to a world that was lost and without hope. And without that promise being fulfilled, there would be no hope. But God was faithful to his promise. And God brought forth his son, Jesus Christ. And he says his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 1. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. The whole purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, this is something we need to share, folks. Because there's so many people now in this world around us that do not have a basic knowledge or understanding about the meaning of the birth of Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised. You want to talk to people in the world and on your streets and in your neighborhood and your workplace. Start a conversation by asking them, what's Christmas all about? What's it really all about? And see what they say. And take them to Matthew chapter 1 and point to them, no, the whole purpose of Christmas is that a Savior would come into this world so that he could die on a cross, raise up from the grave, so that as it says in verse number 21, he shall save his people from their sins. And this first birth that we speak about this morning is a reality. It's a fact of history, not to be disputed. It's a historical fact as much as any other historical fact that you read about. In fact, it is the most important, the birth and the life and the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important historical fact a person can come face to face with. But I want to speak to you about another birth. Because for the majority of the world, the birth of Jesus Christ is simply that. It's another historical fact that is a part of history. And for the majority of the world, that's all it is. And if that's all it is, then what significance really is it to you? Or to me? Or to anybody else? You see, Jesus Christ came into this world with a purpose to save people from their sins. And he did what God sent him to do. He died on that cross. He paid the price. He said it is finished. And God showed that he was pleased with what his son did by raising him up from the grave. But there's another birth. Turn to John chapter 1. And this is where the birth of Jesus Christ, that leads to the life of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. This is where there needs to be another birth, a personal birth, a spiritual birth. John in chapter 3. Well, go to John chapter 3 first. John chapter 3. Because there was a man in John chapter 3, a man by the name of Nicodemus, in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So here's a man, a Jewish man, a Pharisee, a ruler, one that knew all the Old Testament scriptures, was familiar about the consolation of Israel, knew the Old Testament. And honestly, I believe that a man like Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, in their heart, in their mind, they wanted to please God. They believed God. And this ruler of this Jews, Nicodemus, had heard of Jesus Christ. He had seen Jesus Christ. And in verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night. So he comes to Jesus. Imagine this. Here's a religious ruler, a Jewish man, a rabbi, a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus by night. You know why? Because his heart was seeking to know the truth. There was a longing in him. There was a hunger in him. There's a desire. There's something unique, something different, something special. And I've got to know what it is. And he came to Jesus and he says, "We know that thou art a teacher. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And right there, Nicodemus says, so all of a sudden, Nicodemus says, "Whoa, wait, what? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God?" Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of spirit, of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And Jesus says this man, he says, "Nicodemus, there needs to be something that happens in your life. You must be born again." And really the understanding here is this, that every one of us, this might be a newsflash, but every one of us has experienced a natural birth. Right? No one's got any questions about that, right? Good. We're not going to take time to go into that. But you know what Psalm 51 says? Psalm 139 says, "We're fearfully and wonderfully made." But Psalm 51 tells us that we're shapen in iniquity. And the problem that comes from our natural birth is that when we came into this word, into this world, we were sinners. In sin did my mother conceive me. That doesn't mean a wrong relationship. That means when I was born, from the moment I came forth, there's one thing I didn't need to learn, didn't need to be taught. And that was how to sin. Because through Adam, that sin passed upon all men. And the Bible says as a result, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Psalm 130 says this, if the Lord marks iniquities, which he does, who shall stand? If the Lord holds us accountable, if God holds each one accountable for their sin, who can stand before a holy God? And the Bible says we are held accountable. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, he was speaking to a group of men that were standing before him, and he's trying to share with him the truth of who he is, that they might be saved. And they weren't getting it. They weren't believing it. They weren't taking it to heart. And he said, if you do not believe who I am, you're going to die in your sins. And that's why there needs to be a new birth. A spiritual birth. A birth that can only take place because of the first birth of Jesus Christ and the purpose that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But how does this new birth take place? Well, in John chapter 3, it says it's by the Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's believing in Jesus Christ. It's believing what Jesus Christ came and did for you on the cross. The Apostle Paul said, he loved me. He gave himself for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, and he says, the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But you see, that birth of Jesus Christ that led to the cross of Christ and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ has to go from being a historical event, a promised event, it has to reach our hearts and become a personal event to us. Turn back to John chapter 1 for a moment. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I've got to move along because I know we have much to do this morning, but but this is so important. In John chapter 1, look at what it says in verse number 10, speaking of Jesus Christ. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And it's the same thing today. The majority of the world doesn't know Jesus Christ. They have no clue and no understanding of who he is or what he's promised or what he can do. The Bible says he came unto his own, to the Jewish people, and his own received them not. But then again, as we read verse number 12, here we get to the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise. But as many as received him, notice, as many as received him, that's Jesus. to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Here's the spiritual birth, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. And this is what Jesus Christ was trying to explain to Nicodemus. That there needed to be a new birth, a spiritual birth. Because the Bible says we were born in sin, we're dead in our trespass and sin. But the Spirit of God, can give us new life when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, that new life is salvation. And here's the thing. We spoke about Jesus Christ and his birth and how that event was just the beginning. And so it is with the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I just like to take another hour and just talk about the life, the new life that we have in Christ. Have you ever stopped lately to just think about the life that we have in Christ? He says, I've come that you might have life and that you have it mighty, more abundantly, eternal life. And that eternal life, that life that we have, has a purpose for each one of us. God has a purpose for us, and our purpose is to honor and glorify him in this life while we're here, so that others might see our life and desire to know. Just as Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and wanted to know, that others would see the life of Christ within us and that light that dwells within us, and say, what's the meaning? What's the difference? How come there's such a difference in your life? And they would come to know Jesus Christ. And we go through this life, and we live this life, and we come to a point where we're going to die. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the moment we die in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, will be absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my plea with you this morning is, have you experienced a new birth? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? Has he saved you from your sin? Has he given you that new life, eternal life, that only comes through believing in Jesus Christ? And so there's a second birth we want to speak. First of all, the promised birth of Jesus Christ is fulfilled. But second of all, a personal birth. And I just pray this morning that everybody here is born again and knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're not, please turn to someone today and say, please help me understand so that I can be born again and have eternal life and know that I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to speak to you about one more birth, if you will. And it's found over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Because God's purpose was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And God's purpose is being fulfilled in your life as an individual, as a child of God. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Amen? What a privilege. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be called a child of God. Adopted into the family of God. Brought into the fellowship with Jesus Christ. But this morning we're here because it also brings us to be part of something more, something else. And I want to speak to you about another birth, if you will, the birth of the church.
Because that also is a big part of it. There's a lot of people, folks. There's a lot of folks that they misunderstand God's purpose. There's folks that are not saved and they're on the way to hell. They don't understand and believe the purpose of Jesus Christ in coming to save people from their sins. There's a lot of people that understand the personal birth, the spiritual birth, and how it is to be saved. And the Bible simply says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a promise. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that they don't understand another significant birth, the birth of the church, and how precious and how important it is. And that brings us up to today and why we're here today. But Jesus Christ went home, back home to glory. And he left the apostles and the disciples. And he told them, he instructed them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he instructed them, told them they were going to be part of something that was going to be precious to God and precious to Christ. And powerful. Powerful. And it's called the church. And in Acts chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come down and Peter would preach the gospel, thousands of people heard the word of God and believed. And in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They believed the word of God. They were saved. And then they followed that by being baptized as a testimony to their salvation, as we have seen people get baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then look at verse 42. And they continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. To every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And you know, something wonderful started at that moment in time. It's called the church. But just like the birth of Jesus Christ, that event that took place. And then you see the life of Jesus Christ and the purpose of Jesus Christ being fulfilled. And just like the new birth, where a person is born again by the Spirit of God and they live their life fulfilling the purpose of God and glorifying God in their life until they find themselves in the presence of God, receiving the end of their salvation, eternal life in heaven. God desires that something else would continue. It's called the church. The church. We're all part, all believers are, we're part of the family of God. But he wants us to be part of the church. There's churches all across the world this morning that are precious to God. And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures. But when God speaks of the church, he says it's precious because he purchased it with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. It's precious to Jesus Christ. It's called the bride of Jesus Christ. Bride of Jesus Christ. And folks, we're a part of it. We're a part of it. Right here this morning, we're a part of it. And it began, and it didn't stop with the end of the book here. It continues all the way down to today. This morning, this day, in Lakes Palm Baptist Church is an integral, important part of what we see in Acts chapter 2. And as we looked at last week, and even Paul mentioned it yesterday, the Bible's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It's built and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And I want to bring this out because this morning we're going to have a business meeting. And our attention is going to be focused on voting in the next pastor of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. And what an important part of God's eternal purpose that is. But here's what I want to bring forth, is that each one here this morning is just as important part as a young man that we're going to be voting on this morning. Because the Bible says it's by that which every joint supplieth. And we grow up and we're built together as a holy temple unto the Lord. And our purpose is not only to glorify God, but to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And God has promised us something. He's promised us a hope that one day, and this is what we're waiting for as a church, that one day we're going to hear a trumpet sound. And we're going to be caught up together with all the other saints. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And he's going to welcome his bride home to himself. And boy, I'm covering a lot of territory right here. And in Revelation chapter 19, he's going to say, the bride hath made herself ready. And he says, welcome to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But this day is a part of that, folks. This day is a very important part of all of that that's taking place. And we're a part of it, and you're a part of it. And God's purpose is being fulfilled today in our lives and in our church. And God's promises are being fulfilled. And I want to bring it to just one final conclusion with what Jesus Christ said in his promise. God made a promise about his son. He says, I'm going to send forth my son to be a savior. God made a promise about salvation. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus Christ made a promise about his church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And just as God was faithful to his promise of a Savior, and just as God is faithful to his promise of saving souls that believe on Jesus Christ, God is also faithful to his promise about his church because it's a bride of Christ. And it all brings me down to this. I'm thankful for this, that God is faithful to what he has promised in his word, to his son Jesus Christ, to you and me as his children, to we as his church. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness every day until we see him in glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that's been a blessing and encouragement to us this morning. And Lord, I pray and I thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here, anyone at all, that's never trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior, that today would be that day, that they would be born again by faith in Jesus Christ and experience the new life, eternal life, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.